To our immediate right is Mr. Jerry Foreman, and next to him is Mr. Jack Luce. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it very much. And I know that you will fill our time with some excellent stories of your time at Roga and elsewhere.
I walked in the door and they introduced me, and then his Nussbaum handed me a shirt. And it was one of the very first wash and wear shirts, and which happened to be a knitted tricot. And he said, "We think if you can make this stiff, we'll have a use for it." So I took the shirt. I talked to a fellow who was kind of an internal consultant by the name of Leland Grange, and I said, "What would you do to make this thing stiff?" He said, "Well, you might look at epoxies," which is what I did. And eventually, we got our tricot.
When you both arrived at Roga initially, the spiral concept had already been developed.
Right.
But it was still, as I understand, something of a unique device, in that you were still really looking for ways to employ it efficiently in systems. So can you give us a little bit of insight as to how that kind of development went along?
The backing material, when I arrived, was these little tiny glass beads that were cast on a unidirectional fabric, and I think it was latex, but was wicked up by capillary action through them. And it was about maybe a 16th of an inch thick. And that was to carry the water out, away from the membrane down to the product water tube. Now they had the spiral design, they knew how everything was supposed to work, but the materials were very lacking. And that was what the tricot was for, was to replace those glass beads. And I guarantee you right now, if you go down to that hangar, which is still standing on Harbor Drive, you can find a whole bag full of those little glass beads laying all around the floor, because they were all over, and it was weekly. You took somebody to the doctor to get a glass bead out of his eye. We loaded it into River Valley. We picked up China Basapa from the airport, took him to River Valley, and showed him an RO plant making 10,000 gallons a day. And had Ted not done that, because he stuck his neck way out, he was told to stop, he didn't. And he had faith in the process and the people, I guess, and it worked.
What would have happened if it hadn't worked?
GA would not have supported it.
So that would have been the end of it.
At that point, somebody would have picked up the spiral,
right?
Clearly, okay, because it really is a good configuration for what you're trying to do.
Right.
But at that point in time, I don't know. I probably wouldn't have worked in RO so long.
Well, then, next step in this development, then, after we put the heat treat on the end of the casting machine, then we went up front and started feeding the sailcloth into the machine, into the casting machine, membrane casting machine. And then we cast the membrane directly on the sailcloth. So now it was much easier to handle, much stronger. And that went through the rinse bath and again into the heat treat. So now we came out with the membrane cast onto the sailcloth. One was at Bridgeport Brass Company in Bridgeport, Connecticut, where the state was going to shut them down because of their disposal of a rinse water that was an acid-based rinse water.
Hexavalent chrome was the issue there.
And so we built a pilot plant and took it back there, 4-inch elements, and ran it on the wastewater for, months and months, and showed that we could clean up that wastewater with the RO process, and they could dispose of the concentrated, the concentrate from there a lot easier than the bulk of the rinse water that they had to use. That turned into a sizable project.
When you went from, because all of the initial membranes, commercial membranes, were 4-inch, was it difficult to go from 4 to 8, or was that kind of just a logical step?
Well, it's just adding more leaves, actually. We took the basic leaf from the 4-inch element. Mm-hmm. I think there were 4 leaves in that. I went to the 6th leaf and made a 6-inch element. They were the same length. The leaves were almost identical.
You basically kept your spacing around a product water tube the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that was a, you know, for the end user, that was a big step forward to go mm-hmm. from 4 to 8.
Did you ever wonder why 40 inches is the industry length?
I've always wondered that.
I thought you did. When we started out, we had this drum that measured, it was 41 3/8 across, and it was about 2.5 feet in diameter, and that's what we cast the cellulose acetate membrane on. We sat down and we said, okay, what is the maximum we can do? So they asked me, well, what can you get out of the membrane? I said, well, I can get, you know, 16 GFD at 400 pounds net. I can make it about 40.5 to 41 inches wide. Prior to that, we were only making it 38 inches wide. And so the way that we had a trough that set on the drum, and we needed a half inch on either side for the to hold that trough up, because it rode on just the edges of the trough. That was the widest it could make it.